packed house up in here. I don't know what that's sure. Yeah, right. Well, good morning. Shimoleski. I'm not going to spell that for you. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope, and if you're new to Hope, I want to welcome you. Hope is designed to be a place where wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, wherever you come from on the spectrum, and it could be just like, man, I have just heard for the first time that there is a God, and I'm checking him out too. I have been walking with God and following Jesus for years and years and years, as long as I can remember. Wherever you're at on that spectrum, Hope is designed to be a place to kind of meet you where you're at. And we want to come alongside you wherever you're at in that journey and encourage you to take a step forward. And so, regardless of where you're at this morning, I want to welcome you. Our vision is to honor God by helping as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here this morning. That's why people gather throughout the week to be involved in small groups. That's why dudes go off to boot camp and women go off to slumber party. We want to help everybody, as many people as possible, become fully devoted followers of Christ. Not just converts, not just ascribing to it intellectually, but fully devoted in every area of your life, being touched and marked by Jesus Christ. And so wherever you're at, we want to encourage you. Think about, consider, throw yourself on Jesus Christ and keep riding that gospel message, because it's good. But at Hope, As the church is growing, as the fellowship is getting bigger, the fellowship of the ring, the fellowship of Christ here we have at Hope, it's getting bigger. And my first job here was taking people out for coffee. I would love to do that with each and every one of you. I just can't. And so where is it? Where is the money at Hope? The money is in small groups. We want to point you to that. We want to invite you to involve yourself in a small group of people. It's a smaller church within the bigger church. It's where so much of life on life happens. Our small group leaders are great. They're in that position because they want to come alongside you and help you in your spiritual journey. And so if you're not, just encourage you to consider that. Pastor Steve is taking a little break here. It's interesting. He took a sabbatical this summer, but when you take a sabbatical, you don't take vacation. That's just an add-on. That whole three-month sabbatical, that's an add-on. And so he's still got to get that vacation played out. So he's going to take some time to go up to Fertile, Minnesota, and celebrate the uncle's 80th birthday. So, sounds good. But we're going to continue on without him, and we're looking at the gospel. The gospel simply means good news. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the news that it's why he came to earth, and why he lived a sinless life, and why he died in our place, and rose from the dead, conquered over death. He's alive, he's reigning, he's ruling. And we're talking about that. We're talking about it for the whole fall. And so the first part of this gospel series that started back out in September was the raw gospel. The events, the main pieces, the simple gospel message. And we talked about 4 points. There might be a couple. You might have 6 points to your raw gospel. That's okay. But we started off with an encounter. Encountering God. Meeting God. Each of us has that. Sometimes there's these holy moments, just kind of like, a glitch in the matrix. Like, what was that? That's not normal. That's not everyday life. There was something special about that, something unique. It might be around the birth of a son or daughter or of a nephew or niece. It might be just, man, that picture-perfect sunset or sunrise. You have these moments where I was just, something's different. And for some of you, it may actually just be, fill your diaper, I just met God. Just, you know, like the Apostle Paul, just light shones on you and you're just like, I'm just undone. But we talked about having an encounter with God, and when that happens, you have a clear realization of yourself, who you are before God, before a holy God, before the one who rules over all, and you recognize, he's not ruling me. He's not reigning in my heart, in my mind. I don't even care about God. And you have a realization of yourself and of your own sinfulness, depravity we talked about. The week after that, we talked about Jesus, the cross, what he brings, where God's demand for justice is met by his love for you. And at the cross, he settles all accounts. He invites you to be a son or a daughter of his by believing in him through faith. And that's where this raw gospel culminates in a response. What is our response, your response to the cross? What is your personal response to the good news of Jesus Christ? It's easy to say, oh, mom and dad raised me in this. Or no, I've always gone to church. I've always been kind of spiritual. I always thought God and I have had an in. What's your response to the gospel? Not cloaking yourself with religion and behavior and what sets you apart from your coworker or your roommate. When you see that cross, does something come alive in you? Does something humble you? Do you stand in reverence of God? Steve filled this out with three particulars that we're going to get to, but the main word he utilized was conversion. For some of you, that might be an ugly word. He talked about being born again. It's like, ooh, born again, I have a stereotype in my mind, a generalization of those type of people, those born again types. And I don't want to be associated with them. And so, can I get converted without becoming born again? Or can I become a follower of Christ without being converted? Because those are icky words in public. I don't want to share that with my friends that I got converted, that I'm born again. But we talked a little bit about what it means to become converted or born again. Steve used three words to fill this out. He talked about repentance, faith, and baptism. But he didn't just stay there. He filled those out for us. And I think it's important to take a look at, again, this week as we're getting started. What is that? What is repentance, faith, and baptism all about? And so if you clip to the next slide there, filling these out, he talks about the Spirit opening up our eyes to God. Not just having those small glitches in the matrix, not those small holy moments, but just saying, no, there's a God. You're open, your eyes are opened. When that happens, you have a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness. All is lost. It's like, if God really is that good and that holy and that powerful and that just and that strong, oh my goodness. We are led to just be on our knees in confession, humiliated, because of all the years we've lived without God. And it comes to the point where you just say, I don't want that anymore. I'm sick of that. I'm sickened by that, that I got so fueled by these things that are just worthless. And then we come to faith, just believing in Jesus, turning toward Him as Savior, as Lord, as God of your life, where He is marking every area, not just Sunday mornings, not just those times when you gather with your small groups, but every area of your life, every moment of your life, every relationship in your life. Not just a sacred spot, and now here I'm in my secular work environment, and so I don't get to bring Jesus. No, every area marked with Christ. You experience forgiveness, restoration, reconciliation. And then it turns to public confession, where you get to get baptized, you get to get dunked, buried with Him in baptism, raised with Him in life. We get to profess that we are followers of Christ in baptism. And so we talked about these and participating in these as ways by which we can respond to the good news of the gospel, respond to the raw gospel, to respond to Christ and what He has done. We get to repent, believe, and be baptized. On this spectrum, some of you are in different places. And I just, it's okay. Like I mentioned before, wherever you're at, if you're at the place where God is just kind of opening your eyes, you're like, what is all this? Seems like there's something more to life than what I've been experiencing. Maybe you're in that place of just helplessness, just hopelessness. You thought you could overcome something in your life, and it just didn't happen. You thought, I can get a job without God. I don't need God to get a job. I'm capable. My resume is strong. And you can't get a job, and you can't get a job, and you're just feeling a sense of helplessness or hopelessness. Maybe in a relationship where you just thought, man, that was that guy, that girl, they were the one. They were the one. And all of a sudden, they leave, and you're left. And you're saying, what gives? This sucks. Some of you are at the place where you're considering strongly the claims of Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel. I want to encourage you. Pray and ask Jesus, is this right? Is this real? And then go to His Word for answers. Because the promises He makes, He says He will deliver on. If He says, I'm going to save you through my Son, God will do it. He will save you through His Son. So that prayer is met with the promise of God, which just says, if you have my Son, you have life. And if you don't have my Son, you don't have life. Some of you are at the place where you've made that decision and you're thinking, what does this mean? What does this do? How can I share this with others? Get baptized. Hope's going to have a baptism coming up here in a couple weeks. Get dunked. Share with the church. Share with other people. Share with your family and friends. I associate myself with Jesus Christ. I've done these things. I've done these things, and I'm continuing to do some of these things. But I just want to share my story. It didn't happen in a shower at Frontier Hall like Steve. But some of our stories do overlap. I got a degree in math just like him, and kind of that unnatural, nonlinear path to pastoral ministry. But my story started out 699 Tanglewood Drive, Shoreview, Minnesota, Chippewa Middle School, Moundsview High School. Can I get an amen? There's some Moundsview people out there, some Mustangs in the crowd. There's my old yellow house. You can't really see it. The trees are a little bit overgrown. I wish Google would have helped me a little bit. But growing up, you live at the yellow house. Yeah, live at the yellow house. That's my place. I grew up in a church attending home, but not a Christian home. We sat in church week in and week out and never either heard. I want to give the church the benefit of the doubt. We either didn't hear the story of Jesus and the good news of Jesus, or maybe we just didn't receive it. We weren't perceiving what they were, we weren't picking up what they were laying down. But we went to church, but we weren't believers, we weren't Christians. And this lent itself to just getting really excited about football and other non-Jesus stuff. So I was a football player, and that really was in basketball, and I would say that I was an athlete first. That was my identity. That's what I built my life on. If you flip to the next one there, Michael, that's what I thought about. That's what I did 24/7. I was thinking about playing basketball or thinking about playing football, and I just played a lot of hours. A lot of hours at open gyms, a lot of hours catching footballs. And but the sad thing was I was a wide receiver that ran out and caught passes in a run first and only type of offense. So like what some receivers got in 3 games of receptions, I got it over my 2-year span. And I was the reception leader at my school. It's like, that's not good. So then this continues on. I go to the U of M. It's like, what do you do at the U? You try and play football. So I walked onto the football team and I got in. This was in the Jim Wacker years, which was you know, it was all offense. It's like, how many people can we send out to run and get passes? And so they needed a bunch of practice squad offensive players. And it's like, I can run out and catch a pass. And so I did that for the fall. And then Glenn Mason came in. The mighty years now of Glenn Mason, huh? No longer is he looked down upon, given what Brewster did. But I was there in the glory days. If that's true, I'd have to be on the team in the 1940s when we were winning Big Ten championships and national championships. But the glory of the 90s under Coach Mason. But my life takes a dramatic turn in April of that year. It was clear to me that football was not going to be the way that I was going to be making the money and paying the bills long term. And so I started to realize, I think I got to go the school route. I think I got to pour myself into school, pour myself into this degree, this chemical engineering degree. I got to, because that is going to pay the money. They told me. People told me that the chemical engineering will pay the bills. And so I quit the football team, poured myself into chemical engineering for about 4 weeks. scored a 20 out of 100 on one of my first my first chemical engineering class, like a 20 out of 100. I can still boil it down to the problem of which the whole course of my life took a dramatic turn. It was a certain consistency of strawberry preservative that needed to go through a certain size pipe in a certain amount of time. And I looked at that and I stared at it for about 5 to 10 minutes going, this is not like anything on my homework. This is not, where is this coming from? And who even cares? Like, any chemical engineers? I mean, sorry. Yeah. It's all right. I heard it pays well. I came back big on the next one. 80 out of 100 on the next test. Took me to a 50% in the class, which I think on a curve was like a B or a C, but I knew that, I just knew. it's like, I'm not excited. I'm not interested in this. And so you got to look at, like, all right, stuff with the family, just not feeling connected to my folks and not feeling connected with my best friends that I went to school with, and drop the major, drop the football team. It's like, what does one do with one's life that doesn't do chemical engineering and football? And so I was on my bed, freshman in Centennial Hall, pretty lonely as a freshman in Centennial Hall, one of those upper graduate type dorms. And I remember just praying. Growing up in the church, it's like, I'm pretty sure God exists. I was pretty confident that he existed. But by the course of my life and how everything had just unraveled, I was pretty sure he didn't give a rip about me, that he didn't care. And so I just asked him. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know that there were, you know, are there words? Is that kind of like a, he's a lock and I got to find the right words to unlock the door, which is not how you need to pray. Don't worry about that. But it's just like, God, if you're real, I just want to know that you care, that you're there. And that was about it. And I think then off doing something else. Within 48 hours, I get a phone call. And a gentleman from Campus Crusade for Christ just said, hey, you want to get together and talk about God? And it's like, oh, man. Prayer works, yo. Prayer works. No, I prayed and this guy showed up. But through him sharing the raw gospel, the raw elements of the gospel, the four spiritual laws, it started to make a little bit of sense. Because I'm starting to piece together, like, I think this is what my brother Guy was telling me about. And so if you flip to the next slide there, Guy is on the left side there, Vince on the right. It's like, these two men played a significant role at the right time in a very helpful way, clearly communicating the good news of Jesus. That God is there. That God is alive. That he does care. But that sin separates me from him. And the only bridge is Jesus Christ. That's the only way. No other way will do. So make the decision April of 97 there. And I want to follow Christ. I don't know if some of you have had the similar experience with me, but I went back that summer to the old high school friends, hanging out with the same crowd, and really questioning during that time, is this Christ thing going to take? You know, it's like taking a shower too soon after running and sweating a lot. It's just like, did that shower take? I don't know. And you get out and you're like still sweating. You know, like, man, it didn't work. That's what my first 6 months after making the decision to follow Christ is like, is this thing real? Is it legit? I don't know if it is. Because I'm seeing a lot of my old life, a lot of my old high school behavior coming out. Is this thing really going to take? But through the efforts of this church, Hope Community Church, through coming to meet Jill, who then later became my girlfriend and my wife, and now with the... we are cute. you take any bride and groom, that's what they're going to look like on their wedding. And then now, most recently, right? You get dressed up. That's now most recently through my boys. This thing has been a whirlwind, and not always easy. Not always easy, but good. Good in so many ways, and wouldn't change it. Wouldn't change it for the world. I've had the joy now of serving at Hope for 6 years, and part of my job is working with these interns who are doing a bang-up job this year. Really thankful for them, but got the chance to go out golfing with Todd Farrington, one of our interns. We do that. We golf. It's pretty low-key around here, except Sunday mornings. But when we were golfing, kind of getting to know him, hear his story, sharing some of my story, and somewhere around the turn, I think, going on to the back nine, he says, so Cor, what's the hardest thing about being a Christian? He's new in his faith. He's been walking with the Lord for about a year. It's just, what do you struggle with? What's the toughest thing for you? And I just said, without a doubt, persevering. Persevering. Why? Why is that the hardest thing for me right now? Because life has changed a lot since I first offered up that prayer back in 97, when life was broken, when I couldn't fix it, when I felt helpless and hopeless. A lot of life has changed. I got a great wife. I got two great kids. Sometimes they disobey, but most of the time they're great. I love working here. I love connecting with you guys. I love my interns. They're just a fabulous job this year. Great neighborhood. Love the relationship I have with so many of you and the elders at Hope and the staff at Hope. So much of my life I could qualify as good. But with all that's happening that's good, do I still want Christ the most? Do I still feel helpless and hopeless without Him? Am I believing in Him today with the same vigor and the same fervor that I had back in 97? So for me, without a doubt, persevering. Persevering. This today we're gonna preach the gospel to ourselves. We're going to preach that raw gospel to ourselves this morning. And just to give you a radical heads up, we're not graduating from the raw gospel. We're not going on to something that's bigger or brighter or different. We're staying there. Because as I said last time I was on the stage, in the gospel, in the good news, in Christ is the biggest. It is the brightest gospel. There is nothing else. So I want to even go back to what Steve talked about last week. Put up this list again. These are the details and the soil and what is needed, kind of those bare essential elements for one to make a decision for Christ, to be converted, born again, follow Him, be justified. All those big words, those Bible words that connect us to God. Here's the soil. Here's what needs to happen in your life for that to take shape, for that seed of the gospel to come in and actually flourish. That it's not just planted, but actually grows and bears fruit, fruit that will last into eternity. Here's the list. And for persevering, I would say it's the same list. The list doesn't change. Are you still inviting the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to the beauty of Christ today? I don't care if you've been walking with the Lord for a week. Some of you might have just made the decision last week. Are you still allowing God to open up your eyes to the gospel? For those that have been walking with the Lord 5, 10, 15 years, are you still allowing God to open up your eyes to the beauty of the gospel? Without Him, do you still sense hopelessness and helplessness? Or as the years have gotten passed by, do you feel strong in yourself, in your own Bible knowledge, in your own church attendance, what you can contribute to small group? Do you daily make it your aim to just settle accounts with the Lord and just say, Jesus, I did not showcase you here. Jesus, I did not treat my spouse or my boyfriend or my girlfriend, my roommate, my coworker, I did not treat them how you have called me to treat them. Are you broken over your sin? Or is it not that big a deal anymore? Are you slow or quick to turn away from that which doesn't square with your profession of following Christ? Do you believe in Him? Are you allowing Him to lead your life, to save you afresh today, to be your guide? Are you sensitive to His Spirit or calloused? Have you heard from Him recently? Have you talked to Him frequently this week? Have you had the chance to just profess, man, I love God. I'm united to Christ. Even with people who totally could care less, coworkers, others, just a snippet. What's going on in your life? How are you doing? Right? We get that all the time. How are you doing? You got a chance right there. Don't bore them to death. Don't judge them or condemn them. Talk about what God is doing in your life. And it's in this vein that I think Martin Luther, one of the greats of the faith, starter of the Reformation, 95 theses guy on the door there. His first one, his first thesis, number one, all of life is repentance. All of life is repentance. Now you got to think about the context there where he's, you got the Catholic Church there in Rome, and you got the popes, and you got what they've kind of, how they've orchestrated church. It's high church, it's highbrow. Come in, talk to a priest, get your confession, and then go. And I hope we're not high church, we're low church, we're even lower than low church in many respects here at Hope. But you don't need to come here. And you don't need to sit and pray with a pastor. We want to invite you to do that. We want to invite you to pray with the prayer team afterwards, but you don't need necessarily us. Why? Because you have Christ. He's the mediator. He's the high priest. Go to him. Talk to him. Don't make this just a Sunday thing. All of life is repentance. All of life we have the chance to express our repentance, our faith, and our baptism. There's a lot of words that we could use to describe this. I'm going to use continuing conversion or carrying that out or coming out of that or working from that. Some will say you're working out your faith with working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Others are going to say you're transforming heart and mind. Others are going to say it's the work of sanctification. I don't care what you call it. Persevering the faith, continuing that work, remaining fertile soil in God's hands so that he continue to bring forth fruit that will last. And I want to take us to Colossians 2 with our remaining time here. As you may be flipping there in your Bibles, or you can look on the screen, it's also in your insert here. I want to talk, just give you a quick background here. Paul has planted the church in the city there, and he's in prison. He's sending a letter back there because he's gotten word, and he's got a couple things he wants to share with the church there. It is a book that's going to speak to just helping them get rooted and established, built up, firm in their foundation, firm in the gospel, maturing, bearing fruit. It's talking about you've received it with joy. You've been converted. You've been born again. Now what? And so he's going to take some time in his book to encourage them. In his letter to the church there, he's going to take some time. And so I want us to read through this. And there's going to be basically 3 points. Those that need the 3 points here, I'll just give them to you. We're going to talk about what it means to be rooted and established in the gospel in an ongoing manner. We're going to, point two is we're going to talk about how we can get just thrown off this course. And point three is we're going to look again at the gospel. Because Paul's going to utilize it as his main argument here. So let's go there. Point number one here. Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. I've already talked a little bit about this. I've already kind of whet your appetite. As you receive Christ. So think back. Those who have made that commitment to Jesus, think back. What year was it? Where were you? What kind of season of life? What was going on in your world? Think back to that time where all of a sudden the Spirit opened your eyes and the helplessness and the hopelessness entered in. And you heard there could be forgiveness of sin. The old could be washed and wiped fresh, and now you got a new life, new start, different, holy in Christ. Do you remember the joy? Do you remember the peace? Do you remember the hope? Man, to walk around with that, just like, this is incredible. Just kind of like, you know, just like, it's good. Just feeling big, weight off the shoulders. Do you remember that? Do you remember the hope? Where it's like, man, this whole life could be messed up, screwed up. But in the end, I get Christ. Be with him for all eternity. I get heaven with Jesus. As you received him, so walk in him. One of the psalmists penned, just restore to me the joy of my salvation. That's one of my prayers. God, don't let me ever forget that moment when I sensed that. When all of a sudden the world went from black and white to color. Don't let me forget that. Don't let me grow desensitized or hardened to how wonderful and how beautiful it is. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Continuing on in verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. He gives some qualifiers here to what it means to walk in him. Rooted, built up, and established. Now, I've done a lot of gardening this summer, more gardening than I ever have done in my whole life. Any gardeners? I just pity all you guys that take joy in this thing. It is not a joy-filled deal there. I like the planting where you can like plant a bunch of flowers and a bunch of stuff and you just like leave it after an hour and you're like, look what I have done. I have beautified my house and my yard. But it is like the weeding. It is the uprooting and the overturning and like getting the soil, the preparation for the plant to be planted in, that whole thing. That stuff is hard work. And I had my father-in-law come over and plant a vegetable garden. He knew that I didn't have the right stuff. So he brought like the peat moss and the soil and all that with him. And you should have seen our vegetable garden, just overflowing with tomatoes. Just incredible. And they're called tomatoes. And that was a distinct difference than the other soil in which I was just kind of doing my dirt pile weed thing, you know? And soil matters. So what is that? How are you being built up and established and rooted deep in God? What is the condition of your soil this morning? What is the condition of your heart and your mind? If the seed of God and the gospel were to come and be planted in you right now, afresh, first time, would it take root? Or would the land reject it? Would your heart and mind reject it? Would your life reject it? Is it still fresh? Are you receptive? Are you receiving the gospel afresh in the same way that you did the first time? That's one of the qualifiers. Are you being rooted, built, and established in Christ and in the faith? Second qualifier, as you were taught. What does this mean for Paul? This means in accordance with the gospel, in accordance with the good news. When he came to the city, he brought the good news of Jesus Christ that was very clearly different than all these other teachings and all this other stuff that was going on. Do you understand the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you understand the raw gospel? Because that is going to help you stay rooted and established and built up. Again, not graduating to something different, but staying there. And thirdly, abounding in thanksgiving. This ties back to Romans 1. We talked about it 3 weeks ago. Steve talked about Romans 1. They neither honored God or give thanks to Him. Throughout your daily life, in the coming and the going, is there a heart of thankfulness, a heart of gratitude? Staying in that place of dependence, recognizing that without God, without abiding in Him, without the strength of the vine, you're just a branch ready for the fire. You're just broken, helpless, unable to bear fruit apart from Him. So I just want to hit a pause, take a time out, which is what my sons do when I'm about to tag them when we're playing. Take a time out and do an early assessment, an early application. And for some of you, this might be where you land for the rest of your day. Just a quick inventory, faith check, 4 questions. Are you walking with Him as you once did? Are you walking with Him as you once did? Not changing. It doesn't change. I can still remember 2 years into my Christian life, I'm sitting at Hope. Steve is preaching over at the old building, and he says to the people who have not yet received Christ in the crowd, and you might be there, he just says, you know what? You can receive Christ today. All you have to do is answer yes to the following questions. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of all your sins and for the fulfillment of all His promises to you, even eternal life? And is it now your hope to follow Jesus as Lord and obey all His teachings? If you say yes to those, praise God. You've entered into a relationship with Him. And He says, for those of you who have made that decision already, I got 2 questions for you. And I'm thinking, here it is. Here it is. This is me. I made that decision a couple years ago. This is me. And he repeats the same 2 questions. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and for the fulfillment of all His promises to you, even eternal life? And is it your hope, with God's help, to follow Jesus as Lord and obey His teachings? The questions don't change. So as you received Him, are you continuing to walk in Him? Are you staying rooted in that faith? Established, built up. I already shared from up here the trouble and the trial of building the garage. Why? Because the darn brick, laying the brick, the foundation to get below the frost line is so important. Throwing up the walls of the garage is no problem. It's the going deep, rooted and established. Another one, are you walking with Him according to the gospel? And then are you abounding in thanksgiving? And here's the deal. If you're anything like me in my flesh, apart from God, just core here, just core working. I'm going to find somebody. Names are coming to mind of people that I'm going to go tell. I'm doing good in those. No, this week there was that time that I actually did that. I stayed established in the faith. I kept the gospel. Man, there was this one time I thank God this week. I go and I want to defend my faith and the quality of my faith to somebody. These four questions are for you to have a heart-to-heart with God. Because at the end of the day, He's the one that it matters with. Your responses matter greatly to God. More importantly than what you might be able to come up after the service and talk to me or one of our leaders or one of our prayer team members about. God won't be mocked. So that's point number one. As you receive tomorrow, you continue to walk in. Point number two here. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. When you walk out that door, all these four take reign, take chase after you. These four want to do you in. Why? Because they answer the questions differently. They speak to you differently than Christ speaks to you. They paint the world in different colors than the way Christ does. We have a different starting point here than they do out there. And it's not to make you scared of what's out there. It's to make you informed. Be wise. Be careful. Take your lead from Christ. Clipping on to the next one there. How the raw gospel gets warped through these four things. At Hope, we're not afraid of tough questions, big questions. Some of you might have questions just, is God real? Is He real? Maybe you're where I was at back in 97. Does He give a rip? Does He care? Because I look at my life and it's so haphazard. It doesn't even matter. Maybe He does care, but He's just not strong. He can't do anything about it. That whole 9/11 thing, He could have just wiped that off, no problem, and He didn't. So maybe He's just not strong. We're not worried about your big questions at Hope. We want to foster an environment where you can ask those tough questions. Under point two, is sin that big a deal? Are you just drowning in sin? Just like, maybe Jesus isn't that strong. Maybe I'm going to struggle with this sin every day for the rest of my life because Jesus isn't that strong. Is He that strong? Can He save? How Jesus answers those questions is markedly different than how philosophy or deceit or tradition or elemental spirits, which I would say is religion. And I get that from later on in Colossians 2. It talks about people setting forth rules and regulations that you need to follow. We have a different starting point. We have a different message. These different four are going to take you down different ways and warp the gospel. And so don't turn to these for the answers. Turn to Christ. And this brings us to point number three. Keep reminding ourselves of the gospel, because this is the strength of Paul's argument. Why are you going to remain in Christ and walk in Him in the same way that you received Him? Colossians 2, verses 9 to 15 read this way. For in Christ the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Christ, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith and the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive, together with Christ, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. I've done something with this passage to just help us to see where our raw gospel is. There it is. There's God in this passage, in the powerful working of God. God made us alive. He sets these things aside. He nails them upon Christ. He disarms the rulers and authorities. God is at work, establishing, rooting, building you and I we're in here. Two visions of us. One vision, if you go down to the middle there, we're dead. We're dead in our trespasses. Record of debt. Go up to the top. We've been filled in Him, circumcised in Him, a spiritual circumcision, where He tweaks our heart. We've been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him. And then the beauty of Christ is also showcased. Look how many times we're in Christ. We're filled in Him. We're rooted in Him. He is the head of all. Paul throws out there as the crux of his argument, as the power of his teaching here, the gospel. Those who received Him in the gospel are going to remain in Him through the gospel. How are you going to stay rooted and established following Him in faith? In the gospel. Don't forget these things. Don't turn to other things. Don't outgrow. Don't graduate from the beauty, the simple, the complex, the horror, the wonder, the gospel. Don't forget it. Don't bypass it. Every morning, remind yourself. Wake up reminding yourself, without Him, I'm lost. Right now, I want to turn from elemental spirits. I want to turn from religion. I want to turn from human tradition. I want to turn from those things to Christ. I want to believe afresh in Christ. Does all this really matter? At the end of the day, isn't it just enough to do those first four that we talked about, the raw gospel? Isn't it just enough to believe that once, kind of for all time? I get in, I punch my ticket to heaven, I get saved. What about this continuing conversion, this persevering in the faith? Does it really matter? Because I'm not going to achieve perfection, so maybe it doesn't matter. Is it that big a deal? I'm going to struggle with sin, so if I struggle more or struggle less, does it really matter? This is one of those sermons that's kind of like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like the pastor kind of has to do this on a Sunday. He's going to encourage us in the faith because that's what he's called to do and keeps butts in the pew and money in the plate. I mean, does this really matter at the end of the day? Does walking with Christ in the same way that you received Him matter at all? What do you think I'm going to say? I'm going to say yes. What do you think I'm going to say? I'm going to give you one quote and two verses why I think a resounding yes. Does it really matter? Yes, it matters. Okay? The quote is core, soapbox. The other two are Bible. Core, soapbox, you can just take it and discard it if you don't like it. The other two you have to believe because they're in the Bible. But the first one, I was wrestling through this, thinking through this, and then I got the retweet from Timmer, and if you flip to the next one, Mark Twain. Most men die at 27, we just bury them at 72. Now, I did a little bit of Googling, and there's a lot of opinions about what he was really meaning and saying with that. And if you have an opinion, you can come up and talk to me about your understanding of this quote. I'll tell you mine. I'm gonna take this and just say, you know what? Most people get converted, and then it's done. I'm in. I don't need to do anything else. I can sit. I can watch. I can observe. Why? Because I'm already in. God loves me. He showcased this through Jesus. I responded. I'm good. I did that one time 15 years ago. And I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to stop growing. I don't want to stop maturing. I don't want to stop pursuing Christ. Don't let me. And I don't want to let you stop. We're in the habit of starting churches here at Hope. We want to start churches. We want to start a church a year. We want to see people get raised up in leadership, be sent out so that they can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We also want to, as we send them, bleed our DNA. We want to send them out with certain understanding, certain principles, certain beliefs that we've come to hold dear, certain ethos and environment and culture. We want to send the whole pack and just say, bleed the gospel. Tell the city, tell the Twin Cities about the good news of Jesus Christ. We want to do that. But what we don't want is to send out a message that's not being believed day in and day out. We don't want to bleed a DNA where people are sitting on their cans, done, waiting for heaven, kicking up our feet, leaving the doing, leaving the proclaiming, leaving the chance to tell others to somebody else. It's my hope, and men at boot camp, we talked about this. It's my hope that we would keep abiding, keep remaining, keep fighting, keep sustaining, keep being rooted and established in God so we can bear fruit. Don't just get converted. Stay converted. Keep persevering. I've been a pastor for 6 years at Hope. Being a pastor at Hope has been one of the joys of my life. And in this ministry, it's also one of the most heartbreaking. Because I have a front row seat at people that stop. People that give in to sin. People that choose tradition, choose deceit, choose philosophy, choose other things than Christ. Seeing people walk away from the good news of the gospel, walk away from the cross unchanged, unbroken, doesn't make a difference. Doesn't impact their life, and it's heartbreaking. Back to the Bible, which is always stronger. Colossians 1, 21 to 23, just previously from our passage today, it says this, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast." See here, rooted and established, built up in him, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, the letter writer here, became a minister. Does it depend on you? No. God is at work. But the God who establishes you once will establish you for all time, that you will keep persevering. You'll keep fighting. You'll get knocked down and you say, you know what, I'm getting up. Why? Because Christ is in me. We get up again, Christians. We don't stop. We don't bemoan the suffering that is in this world. It's for a present time. It's temporary. It's momentary. And it's not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. We stay steadfast and firm. We keep getting up. It doesn't mean you don't get knocked down. It means you get up with Christ's help. And another one from Hebrews 3, it says this, "We share in Christ, present tense, if indeed we hold our original confidence, past tense, firm to the end, future tense, past, present, and future. For we come to share in Christ if we hold our original confidence to the end." Stay there. Restore, ask God to restore to you the joy of your salvation. Don't turn from it. Don't graduate from it. Stay there. Stay moldable, shapeable. Let me just add a communal element to this. How do I want to talk to us as a church, as a group, as a body? Not just those personal questions that I throw out there, but how are we going to preach the gospel to ourselves with others' help? And it says, right before this verse in Hebrews 3, it says this, "Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Encourage one another daily. Hope, can we be a place where we help one another, encourage one another, come alongside one another. Wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, we've made it the vision of Hope. Is that vision taking reality in our small groups, in our mentoring and coaching relationships, our relationships of discipleship, our teaching times, our education hour classes, all the different ministries here at Hope? Is that happening? Can we come alongside one another? And if somebody just says, you know what? That God is real thing, I'm struggling with it right now. That God is strong thing, I got my doubts. I've been praying, asking for deliverance, and it hasn't happened. Can somebody help me out? Guys, I'm struggling with this sin. I'm tempted to think it's not that big a deal. Will you help me to realize the importance of fighting sin? Can we be that kind of church? No matter the depth of the struggle, no matter how tough the question, that we would come alongside, we'd commit to come alongside one another. And encouragement, preaching the gospel to one another, both truth and love. Can we do that? Will we do that? So that when we do start the churches, that gets bled as well. That gets sent out as well. That DNA is passed. That we can actually be the church, not just come, take part in a worship service, but be the church. I want to just close with two questions. What's one response? One response that God would have for you. Maybe one of those questions, maybe one of those verses just resonated. Why? Because Christ in you, because the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. What's one response? One thing that you just say, you know what? Afresh. Right there, I need that restored because I had that quick obedience, that quickness to obey, I had that at one time and I don't right now. Or I used to look away from that sin so quickly and now I linger. I let it sit. I let it simmer. There used to be joy there. I can remember it. Clear as day, I remember it. And now it's not there. What's one response that God would have for you? Second question. What's one response that God would have you carry out for the sake of another? That this just wouldn't be about you this morning. But perhaps God would be able to reach someone in your life through this. That you would actually become a tool in His hand to be able to reach a coworker, a roommate, a family member, a friend. That you might be able to come alongside somebody today and encourage one another. And as long as it's called today, encouraging them. For some, it might be encouraging them to consider afresh the state of their hopelessness and helplessness and the hope that God offers in Christ. For some, encouraging them to consider on in the faith. Wherever you're at this morning, remember where you came from and remain in Him. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. And right now, God, we just invite You to continue to speak and move in our midst. God, without Christ, without the reality of what You're doing, without Your Holy Spirit, without Your gospel, we're a community group. We just get together and we have some Panera, we hang out. And maybe it's a way for us to find a group to watch the Packers and Vikes with, but God, I know people in this congregation. I know people in this church. I know people in this audience that they want more. They want Christ over everything. They want Christ bleeding from them and from their small groups and from their houses and their dorm rooms and their offices. And so, God, individually, in us as a whole, will You allow us to persevere in this faith, to continue to live out our conversion daily, to persevere in the faith as we have received Christ, so we can remain in Him, built and rooted and established? God, I know in my flesh I can't do any of that. I need You. God, we need You. Will You help us? The good work that You started during this service, will You continue it on? In conversations, in small group gatherings, maybe at dinners of eight, maybe at the women's slumber party. God, we have this unique opportunity to come alongside one another, to encourage one another in the faith, to hold firm that original confidence till the end. But we turn and look outside of ourselves to another. God, let us be that. Let us be that type of church. so that as we start others, those churches would be set on that same foundation. And we might have the chance to infect an entire city with the beauty of the good news of Jesus Christ. Will you help us, God? Even now as we respond, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.